Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, April 28th, 2026. As always, we begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, Unit 4 Schools. Board approves 4 administrative hires. Casillas retained as Ponce's deputy. This article is written by Jeff D'Alessio. Jeff can be reached by email at jdalessio@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Champaign. 2 months and change before his official first day on the job as Unit 4 Superintendent, Giovanni Ponce, that's G-E-O-V-A-N-N-Y, Giovanni Ponce's new leadership team is beginning to take shape. During Monday night's meeting, the Champaign School Board approved the hires of 4 administrators for newly restructured roles in Ponce's cabinet. Dan Casillas, C-A-S-I-L-L-A-S, as deputy superintendent. The lone holdover of the 4, Casillas has served as Unit 4's acting superintendent since the board elected to cut ties with Ponce's predecessor, Sheila Boozer, last spring, while also remaining the district's executive director of facilities and services. He has earned multiple rounds of raves from board members for as a beyond excited, Betsy Holder put it Monday night, holding down the ship. Casillas' goal in his new role, relentless system-wide execution, he said after expressing his deep gratitude for the entire Unit 4 staff. Thank you for your trust, he closed. Let's get to work. Next, Alicia Bell as Chief of Schools, the lone addition who previously worked alongside Ponce during their time in the Houston Independent School District. Bell spent 20-plus years in Texas's largest public district, holding titles that included Dean of Instruction, Elementary and Middle School Principal, and Executive Director of School Improvement and Support before leaving last summer to become Vice President of School Improvement for IDEA, I-D-E-A, Public Schools, a charter school operator based in Weslaco, Texas. Appearing via video Monday, Bell said she plans to do a lot of listening and learning in her new role. Ponce, who also addressed the board remotely, touted Bell's experience as a turnaround specialist. Next up, Alejandro Gomez as Chief Human Resources Officer. The 3-degree University of Illinois alum and 27-year local resident has served as the U of I Systems Associate Director of HR since 2023, following an 11-year stint as Senior Assistant Director of the U of I Counseling Center. Among his other current roles, Group Fitness Director at the Stevens Family YMCA and member of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Gomez said he'll approach his new role with curiosity, questions, and a people-centered focus. Also, Jake Flowers as Chief Academic Officer. He'll leave a superintendent job in Peoria's 2-school 363-student Norwood District after 5-plus years. Flowers has also served as a special education teacher at Wood River Hartford, Dean of Students and Athletic Director at Galva Junior Senior High, and principal at Norwood Elementary. Addressing concerns from Justin Michael Hendricks and Grace Kang about the lack of diversity in the district he leads, and it not including a high school, Flowers said, I understand your concerns, but I'm there for all students. I will prove that I'm the right fit for this district and can't wait to help Ponce fulfill his mission. That leaves 3 positions on Ponce's leadership team still to be filled. Chief of Student Support and Access, Chief Business Administration Officer, and Chief of Communications and Community Engagement. To find what what Ponce called the most talented people for the seven positions, Unit 4 enlisted the help of the same Texas-based firm it hired to conduct the search that ended with the Fairfax, Virginia County Chief of Schools' own hiring on February 10th. The board approved paying up to $128,000 for JG Consulting to assist with the search for the seven new administrators for fewer than made-up Boozer's cabinet. Unit 4's 11 existing administrators were given the option of applying for the newly restructured positions, being assigned to other roles, or resigning effective June 30th. Three chose the latter option. Chief Business Officer Linda Matkowski, Chief Communications Officer Stacy Moore, and Assistant Superintendent of Leadership Henry Walker. Also at Monday's meeting, the board unanimously approved a separation agreement with first-year Champaign Central principal Monsha Gardner, who tendered her resignation on February 7th and won't be back at the high school before her last day as a district employee on June 30th. Among the terms of the agreement, Gardner must utilize all her accrued vacation days, 16 as of Tuesday, and personal leave days, 4, then chip away at her sick leave days, 47.95, for every workday between now and June 30th. Both sides also agree not to sue each other. So it looks like she was there for 1 year. Also, as agreed upon last year, the board held now annual elections for all three officer positions. Tony Bruno was reelected president. Christy Arnold was elected vice president, and Fatima Ahmad, secretary. There are no photos that accompany that article. The next headline reads, 17th Christy Clinic Illinois Race Weekend. Hug break. And there's a photo of three women giving each other hugs. One is holding a sign. One looks like she ran the race. The caption reads, Palatine's Grace Arango takes a moment during her run Saturday in the 17th Christy Clinic Illinois Race Weekend Marathon to hug her friends Cami Donofsky and Maddie Trim on Green Street in Champaign. That photo is taken by Rob Lacates of the News Gazette. And cool running. A foggy start. Full slate of events and activities make for a busy, energized race weekend. There's a photo provided of, looks like three men. They have gray shirts on and have medals around their neck. Inside, there's a special section, 20 pages of stories, photos, and results of every participant who crossed the finish line. That's featured later on. And this was just a photo front page center of the News Gazette. Congratulations to everybody who participated in the Christy Clinic Illinois Race Weekend. Next up, Champaign County Court. Ex-U of I officer on trial for alleged 2018 sex assault. This article is written by Luke Taylor. Luke can be reached by email at ltaylor@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Urbana. The trial for a former University of Illinois police officer accused of sexual assault began Monday. This is the second time Gerald, J-E-R-A-L-D, or Jerry Sandage, 54, of Leroy, has stood trial for charges that are related but are being handled as individual cases. His previous trial was in 2022, at which time he was found guilty of 7 counts of official misconduct. It was overturned in 2025, meaning it will eventually see another resolution. The trial that began Monday is for accusations of sexual assault that allegedly occurred in September of 2018. In his opening arguments, Assistant State's Attorney Troy Lozar said that the jury will hear from the alleged victim, who was in town temporarily on business at the time. She said that she met Sandage and another individual at a concert in Springfield, where they learned they lived in the same apartment building back in Champaign. According to Lozar, they stayed in touch and later made plans to spend time together again. But the victim had no intention of forming any kind of romantic or sexual relationship with Sandage. She was not actually looking for another person to date. She was on a 6-week stay here, he said. Lozar said that she was looking for someone she could rely on and feel safe around during those 6 weeks, and that she believed a man who was 22 years older than her and a police officer would fulfill that role. One night, the victim and Sandage went out for dinner and drinks before returning to his apartment. The victim said that after having a drink he made at his apartment, she started feeling unwell, Lozar said, and that she eventually fell unconscious. She allegedly went in and out of consciousness more than once, waking to find Sandage committing sexual acts with her that she had not consented to. It was the day before her first day at the job she was in town for, so Lozar said she compartmentalized what happened to her and went in to work. She did eventually report the alleged incident over 24 hours after it occurred, which eventually prompted searches of Sandage's residence and technological devices. Sandage's attorney, James Martinkus, also presented opening arguments on Monday. He said that the victim's claims of being unconscious for parts of the encounter were false, and that the contact she had with Sandage was fully consensual. Martinkus said that on the evening the pair met up, they each had a small amount of alcohol, but not nearly enough to be intoxicated. According to his client's testimony, he said that Sandage said he needed to go to bed, and that instead of heading to her own apartment, the victim climbed into his bed and waited for him. They did have sex that night, Martinkus said, and some parts were actually initiated by the alleged victim. One witness testified before the end of the day on Monday. At the time of the investigation, she was serving as a digital forensic examiner for the Illinois State Police, who investigated that incident, or this incident, since the defendant is himself a police officer. While she did not speak to evidence found on devices belonging to Sandage, she confirmed that tampering with the evidence would have been highly improbable once they were in police custody, thanks to security measures by the Illinois State Police. Sandage's trial is set to continue this morning. The next headline reads, Workers' Memorial Day, Monument to Honor Danville Worker Who Died on the Job in 2023. This article is written by Jennifer Bailey for the News Gazette. You can reach Jennifer at her email address, jbaily@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Danville. Friends and family of Joshua Bland, B-L-A-N-D, say he had a larger-than-life personality. He was a very funny, funny person, said Addie Ali of Danville, the significant other of Bland's brother, Robbie Brewer. It's hard to describe. He had a really big personality. He always wanted to make you feel included. He would go out of his way to include them and make them feel loved. Friends and family, including Bland's mother, Carrie, K-A-R-R-I, Bland of Danville, will remember him at today's Workers' Memorial Day ceremony in Danville. Mr. Bland was repairing a commercial roof in Danville in December of 2023, when he fell 33 feet to his death. According to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the accident led federal investigators to issue an $80,000 fine against his employer, Hoover Contracting, with demands that they improve work conditions for others. Mr. Bland, known to friends and family as Critter, will be recognized during Vermilion County's ceremony honoring dozens of area residents who have lost their lives while on the job. That ceremony will take place at noon at 432 North Hazel Street in Danville. A Champaign County ceremony will be at 5 p.m. at Dodds Park, 1501 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign. Both counties' ceremonies will include presentations from local labor leaders and elected officials. The ceremonies are among several memorial services happening Tuesday around the country. The public is welcome to attend. Mr. Bland, 25, was a 2016 Danville High School graduate who loved music and making people laugh. His name will be added to the memorial in Danville. An investigation by OSHA, O-S-H-A, found his employer did not enforce the use of fall protection equipment for employees and had been previously cited for similar violations. "What happened to Josh is beyond unacceptable," said Luther Baker, president of the East Central Illinois AFL-CIO, in a press release. "The most basic safety standards were not followed, and it led to this tragedy, which was completely preventable." Observances of Workers' Memorial Day began in 1970. The goal is to raise awareness of the need for better workplace safety for everyone. Champaign Mayor Deb Finan and Urbana Mayor Deshaun Williams have issued proclamations recognizing the day. Fatal work injuries were down 4% across the country from 2023 to 2024, but increased 7.6% in Illinois, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Mr. Bland was one of 33 Illinois residents who died while on the job in 2023. That's 33, with falls being the top cause of death in the construction industry. "Every person whose name is on these memorials deserved the right to go home that day," said Kevin Sage, president of the East Central Illinois Building and Construction Trades Council, through a press release. "We have to do all that we can to ensure all workers are safe." Ali, A-L-L-E-E, said they hope lessons are learned from Mr. Bland's and other work-related deaths from unsafe work conditions. "It's a really sad situation. It shouldn't be happening," she added. She said it can make someone scared to go to work, and people should feel safe and know that their supervisors are making sure they're doing everything they can to make the workplace safe. Ali said it's about professionalism, too, especially when people work for friends. "Safety has to be the most important thing," she said. Families can contact organizers if they'd like a loved one's name added to the memorials. You can contact Baker at the following email address: PRAECELLEMUS@gmail.com or sage@ualocal149.com. And there's one photo that's provided. It's of several kind of stone tablet tributes outside. The caption reads, "Workers' Memorial Day ceremonies will take place on Tuesday in Danville and Champaign." Next up, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Questions, comments, suggestions for the top of the morning column, you can always reach out to Jim Rosso at his email address, jrossow@newsgazette.com. Barry Dickerson's stamina is still a work in progress, but his humor is back to full strength. After completing Friday's 5K in just over an hour, 5 months after suffering a stroke, Barry said he was pretty sure I walked faster between bars back in my University of Illinois undergraduate days. Joined by friends and family, Barry crossed the finish line at Geese Memorial Stadium, a happy, worn-out camper, an avid runner with a long history of thriving in races of various lengths. "I'm used to being one of the faster people, and now I'm at the bottom," he said. "That's okay." Daily therapy is part of Barry's slow and steady comeback from the knockout punch he took December 3rd. His high water mark is walking 7.8 miles in 1 day, a remarkable accomplishment he credits to the support of my family and the encouragement of friends. He celebrated Friday's finish with a beer, burger, and plenty of laughs at Aspen Tap. It was a goal of mine to experience the thrill of being in a race again, even though I walked, he said. It was very uplifting. It was a perfect night. Just wait till next year. I hope to be running one step at a time, said Barry, senior director for corporate relations at Geese College of Business. We all have two options. You can wallow in self-pity or pick yourself up and push forward. That's what I decided to do. And there is a photo, which is provided, of several people. They're all kind of wearing gray shirts. They have some baseball caps, and they have the medals around their neck. The caption reads, Barry Dickerson, fourth from left, with the group that accompanied him at Friday's 5K. Congratulations to Barry. Next up, history. Area history. In 1926, after voters approved the passage of legalized boxing, rumors abound in Urbana that a group of men, who has yet refused to divulge their names, are planning to invest in building an open-air boxing arena with a capacity of 6,000. The rumors, which seem authoritative, contend that several possible sites have already been inspected. In 1976, Hartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N, Construction Company, has been named Worst Landlord of the Year in the Champaign-Urbana Tenant Union's fourth annual contest. Hartman received 2,929 penny votes in the six-day polling out of 15,119 votes cast. Second place was Lincoln Land, Illinois, an Urbana realtor that received 2,547 votes. Barbara Carpenter, who became a contender after a tenant reportedly cast 500 votes for the Champaign-Urbana landlady, took third place with 1,160 votes. In 2011, a long and sometimes contentious legislative hearing over a tentative change in state employee and retiree health care insurance served only to add more controversy to the issue. For more than 4 hours, lawmakers and a room full of angry state employees and retirees spoke out against the Quinn administration's provisional decision to remove Urbana-based Health Alliance from the list of health insurance providers effective June 30th. And in international history, today's highlight, on April 28th, 2004, the world first viewed images of prisoner abuse and torture by U.S. troops at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq via a report broadcast on the CBS television news program 60 Minutes 2. Also on this date in 1945, Italian dictator Benito Mussolini and his mistress, Clara Petacci, were executed by Italian partisans after attempting to flee the country. The next headline reads, Paxton's Pells, P-E-L-L-S, Park. Tree honors businessman who helped grow community. This article is written by Will Brumleve, or Brumleve, that's B-R-U-M-L-E-V-E, out of Ford County, for the Ford County Chronicle. This article is based out of Paxton. From his humble beginnings growing up near Foosland, Carroll, C-A-R-R-O-L-L, or Kelly Birkey, B-I-R-K-E-Y, became a successful businessman, owning a Birkey's farm store in Paxton and managing another in nearby Hoopston after the company was founded by three of his brothers. Known as a tireless worker, Mr. Birkey never quit working and always had a project planned or underway, Paxton Mayor Bill Ingold said, but he still always made time for his family and his faith. In honor of Mr. Birkey's contributions to the Paxton community, Ingold dedicated a tree in his memory at Pell's Park as part of the city's annual Arbor Day observance. Today, it is an honor to plant a Burgundy Bell maple to a man who made significant contributions with his time and efforts to benefit Paxton and the residents. Ingold said, "May this tree grow and give back to this or to his community in the many ways that Kelly Berkey did." A Fisher High School graduate, Mr. Berkey began working at age 18 for Springer Implement in Fisher, where his brother Floyd was the manager. In 1954, three of Mr. Berkey's brothers formed Berkey's Farm Store in Fisher, and Mr. Berkey was its first employee. In 1967, when they added a store in Paxton, Mr. Berkey became an owner. He also managed a store in Hoopston for several years. By the time Mr. Berkey died on December 29, 2025, at age 96, there were 19 Berkey's Farm Stores across Illinois, Indiana, and Missouri selling and servicing. Around the area, Case IH Farm Equipment and Construction Equipment, the mayor said. The Case IH Farm Equipment and Construction Equipment. In addition to his work with Berkey's Farm Stores, Mr. Berkey's contributions to Paxton included building a number of homes in a subdivision on Allison Drive. Many of the houses in the subdivision were built by him, Ingold said, of Mr. Berkey, who lived in Paxton. A small crowd of city staff, Mr. Berkey's family members, and students from Paxton Buckley Loda High School's FFA, Future Farmers of America chapter, were present for Friday's observance, which also included a presentation by FFA members about the history of Arbor Day and the type of tree planted. So again, this is from around the area. There's a photograph of a few people outside, and they hold a flag that says Tree City USA with a tree on it, Arbor Day Foundation. The caption reads, "Joined by Paxton Mayor Bill Ingold, far right, family members of the late Carol or Kelly Berkey pose with Paxton's Tree City USA sign from left, Austin Locke, Mike Adwell, Brian Locke, Arlo Deremia, Debbie Deremia, and Jan Wilson." That photo is provided. As a quick note, the story contains original reporting by News Gazette staff. If you are not a subscriber, please consider becoming one, because local journalism is only possible with your support. A subscription to the News Gazette plays a vital role in making this reporting possible. Thank you for your support and helping us to continue to connect our community. Next up, let's look at the weather forecast for the next few days. Today, 66 degrees, partly sunny, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday, the high will be 61, the low will be 50, mostly sunny, north winds 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Thursday, the high will be 62, the low is 40. Friday, the high will be 57, the low will be 42, it will be partly sunny. And Saturday, the high will be 60, the low is 36, and it will be partly cloudy. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, April 28th, 2026. I'll be back in just a few moments to read part two of today's paper, so please stay with me. Thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure to read with you. I hope you have a wonderful week ahead and a great day.